Do you have that memory? That one thing that you wanted as a kid more than anything else? You remember when you were a child, you wanted that one thing? The Christmas story, the little kid wants that BB gun, you know? And then that morning, it's almost a magical morning when you open that box and there's that one thing you've been wanting more than anything else. I was, I don't know how old I was, fifth or sixth grade, I guess. I wanted a bicycle. I'd outgrown my other bicycle a long time ago. You know, I started out on one of those little, I don't know, about a 12-inch thing with a great big long banana seat. You remember those banana seats? And I had outgrown it a long time ago, and it had fallen apart. I'd been years without a bicycle. I wanted a bicycle. And I kept hinting and asking and pleading and begging. I wanted a bicycle. I didn't realize at the time, now looking back I do, but I didn't realize at the time what an expense that was for my family. Mom, a single mom raising four kids in a house that was purchased when they had two incomes, and now she just had the one. Life had changed, and I didn't realize what pressure I was probably putting my family under, but I wanted that bicycle. Each year in my family, we got one, what we called the big gift. We got one, really one gift. And then we got oranges or candies or, you know, whatever else. Usually nice things, mittens or toboggan thing, whatever. But really we got one gift. We called it the big gift. Well, that Christmas, I watched under the tree as more and more gifts got placed there. And my anticipation and excitement built until they put a big box under the tree with my name on it. And that was a sad day because we only got one big gift. And that box wasn't going to hold a bicycle. So if I'm going to get whatever's in that box, I know I don't get my bicycle. I was disappointed for days. Christmas morning came, and since I was the youngest, I was always Santa Claus. And so I had to go and hand out all the gifts to everybody else, and I let that big box stay over there. Once everybody got theirs, then I went and got my big box, and I took the ribbon off. I undid the paper, and I took it out, opened the box, and there was another box inside. I took it out and opened it up, unwrapped the thing, and there was another box inside. And it took me 30 minutes to go through, that's an exaggeration, go through all these boxes. We started with a big box that obviously wasn't a bicycle, and I got down to you remember the little pill boxes? I got down to a little pill box kind of a thing. And I opened that thing up, and inside there was a note. Now, my next-door neighbor's name was Fontenot. And I opened that note, and it said, "Next door at the Fontenots, you will find what only Santa knows." And I took off, because I knew what I had gotten. I ran next door, and sure enough, under their carport, there was that big 26-inch red bicycle. I mean, it was a three-speed deal. You know, had that little Jimmy on the handlebars, you know. And the brakes were on the handlebars instead of on the pedal. I was uptown. It even had baskets on the back. I mean, I rode that thing for years. I put my books in those baskets, and I drove. We had to, you know, they had already... it was in the days of, make sure I get the word right, desegregation. And so I lived on this part of town, and they made me go to junior high on that part of town. And so I put my books in the back of that big 26-inch red three-speed, and I drove all the way across town. And, man, I was a rock star on junior high campus. Yeah. Everybody else had really cool bikes, but I didn't know better. I loved my bike. That's the memory. That's the gift that I remember from childhood. Through the years, I've gotten a lot of wonderful gifts. My wife is a very good gift giver, and she has taught my daughter well, and they give great gifts. I've been very blessed. But the memory of my childhood, the one I'll never forget, is all those boxes and that red bicycle. I can describe it to you because it meant so much to me. I wanted it so bad. I received it. It was such a blessing. I can describe it to you. But you know the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift ever given, is one that I cannot describe. I've tried, and others have tried, to describe the greatest gift ever given. Some folks a whole lot smarter than me have given it their best shot. Even the Apostle Paul said, "This gift is so great, I can't even describe it." Let me show it to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 15. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 15, I want to show you. 'The gift beyond description.' This is not a long verse. It's just a few short words. I think there's about 8 words. But I want you to consider the power of this statement. 2 Corinthians 9 at 15. "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." What a way to spend Christmas. Thank you, God, for the indescribable gift. Thank you for a gift that is beyond me, that is too big, too great, too grand, too marvelous for me to have the words to describe. Thank you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Now, I'm going to give you a gift this morning, and that is that we're going to get out early. But before we leave, I want to show you why this gift is indescribable. What makes the gift that God gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ, what makes it indescribable? In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul has been talking to the church about their gifts that they've given to other churches, the offerings that they have raised to help other Christians. And he says, "Y'all have done so well. I'm so pleased and so proud of you. You know, you're blessing other Christians and God is blessing you, and this is what it's all about. And the gifts that you're giving are great." Speaking of gifts, how about that gift God gave us, huh? That's kind of the way he does. This is a parenthesis. He's talking about the gifts they're given, and then it's kind of like he says, "Yeah, speaking of gifts, boy, the one God gave us is indescribable." What makes it so indescribable? First, I think that gift is indescribable because of Jesus' nature, because of who He was. We can't fully describe Jesus. What words would you choose to explain or describe Jesus? How do you describe a baby born of a virgin? How do you describe God in the flesh? How do you describe the Creator walking through the creation? Isaiah said He would be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. How do you describe that? How do you put in words that we can really wrap our brains around that God is with us in a very physical way, in a way that you could touch and hear and hold in your arms? How do you describe a God who would allow humans to hold Him in their arms? How do you wrap your brain around that? How do you describe a God who's all-powerful, who is completely eternal, no beginning, no end, has always been, will always be? How do you describe that? How do you describe the indescribable? Listen to the Council of Chalcedon in 451 A.D. This council gathered to settle some theological questions. And when they gathered in 451 A.D., the greatest theological minds of that time all came together to try to describe Jesus. Here is their description. Perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood. Truly man of a reasonable, rational soul and body. Consubstantial, co-essential with the Father according to the manhood. In all things like unto us without sin. Begotten before all ages of the Father according to the Godhead. And in these latter times for us and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary and of the Mother of God, according to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, and the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved. Do you understand that? I didn't either. And that's the point. This is an interesting place that I find myself this morning, because I'm trying to preach Christ by saying, you can't preach Christ. You can't really describe Him. He is too grand for us to be able to put into words. Emmanuel, that concept blows the human mind, that God Almighty would come to be with us. It is indescribable because of His nature. It is indescribable because of the reason that He came. Not only because of His nature, but it's indescribable because of the reason that He came. The angels announced to the shepherds that night, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He came to be Savior. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the fact that Jesus came into our world to save us. The reason He came is indescribable. Think about it for just a minute. When God looked at our world, He knew that our greatest need was not economic. When He looked at our world, He knew that our greatest need wasn't better schools or a better welfare system. Our greatest need was not even some sense of world peace. Our greatest need was a Savior. When God looked at our world, He saw that humankind that had fallen. He saw that His greatest creation had rebelled against Him. And because of our rebellion, we were not right with Him. Scripture says actually we were at enmity with Him. In other words, we could not relate to Him in a peaceful, loving way. And God knew that the thing we needed the most was a way to be forgiven of sin and a way that we could be saved out of that sin. And so it's amazing how He chose to deal with that. He could have done it any way He wanted. He could have sent legions of angels down to perform some kind of spiritual cleansing on us. He could have spoken one word and said, all is forgiven. He could have done it so many different ways. And yet in His holiness, in His justice, He kept His own laws, sent His Son in order that the penalty for sin might be paid. He sent His own Son to die so that we don't have to. It's indescribable because of the reason that He came. That baby that was born on Christmas was born with a purpose, part of the plan. Bethlehem was on the road to Calvary. And you see, it's indescribable, the gift that He gave us in that child, because of the reason that He came. The gift that God gave us is indescribable because of grace. How do you explain grace? I got some really nice gifts this year, and I gave a few gifts. But you know, the people I received gifts from and the people I gave gifts to have some kind of connection to me. Family or friends, there's some kind of personal investment in our relationship. And so I give a gift to express that love and the importance that relationship has for me. I receive gifts humbly as a way of acknowledging that the other person cares for me. There's a friendship there, a connection, a relationship. What makes God's gift so special is that He gave us a gift before we had any relationship to Him. He didn't owe us anything. I think that's one of the things that we need to think about this year, that we need to maybe focus on a little bit more than we usually do. God did not owe us His Son. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't expect it, much less demand it. The Bible says that God showed His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, we hadn't even started a relationship with Him. He had to initiate that with us. He gave us a gift even when we didn't really know Him. That kind of grace is amazing. That kind of grace surpasses our ability to describe. It is part of that indescribable gift. The other thing that makes the gift indescribable this Christmas morning is because of His effect on us. God's gift is indescribable because of what happens to us when we receive it. Think about it just a second. What happens when we receive His gift, when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives? What happens? How do you put that into words? How do you describe it? Jesus comes into our life and forgives us of our sin. The forgiveness of sin is huge. And understand, that forgiveness is not the kind of forgiveness we talk about, where because I care about you, I'll just kind of pretend you didn't do it. No. He never took it lightly. He paid for it fully and completely. That's how He forgave. Not pretending it didn't happen, but recognizing how serious it was and paying the full price for it. That's forgiveness. When we accept Christ, we're adopted into His family. You know, until then, we don't relate to God. There's something in between us. Sin separates us. But then He not only takes the sin away, but He actually makes us part of His family. That's indescribable. How do you explain that? A God who would do that to make His creation a part of His family. When we accept Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's actual presence within us. Put that into words. Describe that completely. God alive at work within the life of the believer. When we accept Christ, we receive peace. Not a peace that the world gives, but a peace that passes our understanding. Peace that allows us to cope with everyday situations. When we accept Christ, we realize that we have a mansion in glory, paid for, reserved, prepared for us. Now put all that together in words. It is an indescribable gift because of His effect on us. Real forgiveness, Holy Spirit presence and power, peace that passes understanding, adoption into God's family, and the promise of a mansion in glory, one of these days, prepared for us by Him. Paul said, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." It's as if Paul looked at Jesus and said, "I can't describe Him. All I can do is fall on my knees and thank God for this indescribable gift." I guess that's what we do at Christmas time. That's what I challenge you to do today. Spend the rest of your day recognizing that you can't describe the gift. But find ways to fall on your knees and thank God for that indescribable gift. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for our time together today. We thank You for this glorious morning, this great opportunity that it is to come into Your house and worship You on this beautiful, holy day. Lord, we thank You above all those things for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Thank You. As we share gifts today, help us to do so in a way that honors the best gift, the greatest gift. Father, we pray now that You'd help us to each be certain that we have received that free gift. Help us be sure that we're right with You. If we have business to do with You, we need to make a commitment or decision. Show us what we need to do this morning to be right with You, to accept that gift, to receive Christ. Lead us, we pray, during this moment. In Jesus' name.